The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy, managing partner of the Oakmont Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, managing partner of the Oakmont Group. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Steve Alfieris. He is the Vice President and General Manager, U.S. Federal, for a company called Rubrik, R-U-B-R-I-K. Steve, how are you?
Good morning, John.
It's a word probably people have heard because a lot of lawyers in town here, a lot of my listeners maybe studied Latin, and there's a word that's spelled similar to that in Latin. But this is R-U-B-R-I-K. You can find them online, rubrik.com, and they have a Twitter handle, R-U-B-R-I-K-I-N-C. I wanted to bring you in to talk about this. This is a relatively new company, only been around a couple of years, has some new ideas, and guess what? Most of my listeners are facing new challenges. So if you try to use old tools for new challenges, sometimes you're not very successful. So I wanted to bring you in. You're kind of a good mix. You have a good amount of federal experience, decades of federal experience, yet you're with a newer company that has a solution that might be able to help my listeners. And you know, toss my listeners a bone, give them an idea. That's all we're trying to do in this show. We have an hour interview every week, sit down with someone new and say, well, this is an idea you might want to consider. Call the people up at R-U-B-R-I-K and get some information. But before we begin, let's establish your credibility. You got tons of that. So you've been doing this a couple of years now, huh, Steve?
Yes, I entered the IT marketplace back in 1984. You know, I'm in 30 plus years of IT. I started as an engineer. I worked for a company that I joined in 1986 called EMC at the early stages, and had a wonderful opportunity there to rise through the ranks. And ultimately, after, you know, 21 years, the last 7 plus years, I built and managed their federal service practice. So for EMC Corporation. In addition to that, I had the opportunity after my leaving EMC, I joined a company called ServiceNow back in 2013 that was really highly innovative, is very highly innovative in the business process and management area for IT service management. They are a fabulous company that delivers a software as a service, and which the government has consumed. So we did a wonderful job there of building out that capability, and it just brought me to kind of innovation relating to software-defined capabilities, which is quite the trend right now. So therefore, I was able to secure an opportunity with the CEO of Rubrik, Bipul Sain, and I'm here to build out their federal government practice.
Well, good. That's a good, solid background. So if someone does contact you, you'd be able to talk their talk and understand some of the problems that my listeners have. True confession here. At my house, I have an external backup hard drive that I use for backup. How's that for old-fashioned, you know? And that's, I think, how many people think of backups. They have a hard drive in this room, and they put it in a hard drive in that room, and it's a hardware-based solution, and everyone's happy. The hard drive's here, the hard drive's there. What if they both fail? Well, that'll never happen. What if it floods out? That'll never happen. Talk to the people in Miami and Houston about that. And so that's my mindset when I think of backups. And I think the concept of backup to something physical is what people are just, they're trained in that. But this is a different way. This is a different concept here, isn't it?
It is. We actually, the very interesting thing about Rubrik is that the founders of our company are all from fabulous companies that understand the marketplace, and they understand, you know, how to manage data. So our founders are from Google, Facebook, Oracle, as well as VMware. And they got together and they looked at the market in an area that has not been innovative in years. The last innovation was roughly in the late 2000s. And they came up with a concept of looking at a market on data management and how to effectively allow customers to actually manage their data. And so what we built was a modern day software fabric that unifies all the components of a backup environment into a single software fabric that allows for data management from a perspective of of capturing that all the data, whether it's virtual machines or physical machines, that allow them to catalog all their information. And the interesting part is where we ingest all of that data, we deduplicate it, we compress it, but the most important thing we do is we file index it down to the file level as well as the object level. That allows for our software fabric to develop a catalog of all of the data that is in an enterprise that's protected. And then we could use that data in very, very interesting ways, or allow actually our customers to use that data in very effective ways for things like DevOps or penetration testing for security, which obviously is a very high priority item for the government, securing that information, ensuring that they can effectively manage and port that data into mobility where they can move it into different areas.
So I'd call you a cloud data management company. Is that a good synopsis, four words for what you folks do?
Yes, sir.
Good, good, good. Why not, sir? I'm just old John, you know, John the Donut Guy or something. And, you know, when I think of, I was at an event 2 weeks ago. I go to events all the time. You know, this was an event for satellite security. Okay. So four people up on stage there. There was a very bright woman on stage. And she said, look, the bad guys are inside the castle. We know that. I mean, they're there. All you can do is work on resiliency. And she talks about recovery. And she's saying, you know what? You know, the bad guys are already in here. If they're going to try to shoot you, you got to get a failover something quick. And it doesn't mean John going home in his garage and getting his backup hard drive and bringing it into work. You don't even have an hour. You don't have 10 minutes. You don't have nothing. If people want to be Facebook 24/7, they want to be your stuff 24/7. And I think that's what you're getting at right here is instant recovery, instant resiliency, instant backup. Get those apps running up and forget the bad guy. That's why I read it.
Well, I'm really glad you read it, because it's exactly the next step of what we wanted to kind of talk about just briefly. So some of the key capabilities that we have that we believe are highly innovative and transformational are the fact that we're very easy to deploy. You know, often our implementations just take hours, not days, not weeks, not months, and not years. So we can get customers into production very quickly because of the fact that we've hyper-converged the software layer and allow customers to immediately start benefiting from the ease of use, the automation and orchestration that we do when relating to how they deploy and SLA policies. And we're an API-first oriented approach, so we can connect with current customer tools that they use to manage their environment, so it makes it really easy for them. So one of the key things there is, because of that deployment, we're able to capture that data, but the thing that we can do very effectively is very fast recovery. We reduce RTOs from hours to just minutes, and recently we had the hurricane down in Tampa, down into Florida area and the Houston area, and some of our customers benefited from that ability to instantly recover their production workloads. So that was just an example of one use case where, in fact, there was, you know, clearly a big challenge to ensure that they were able to continue to manage and operate their businesses.
So this is a software-defined converged backup solution.
That is correct.
Good, good, good.
Now, the other thing that we do is quite effective, John, is the way that we're structured and the way that we built this fabric is that what we're seeing is anywhere from 20 to 60% savings for cost avoidance. So customers are able to achieve a significant cost savings by moving away from legacy technologies to Rubrik.
Good, good, good. Give me an example. You know, we just have a couple minutes before the break here. Give me an example. Let's say someone's sitting out at Interior and they're looking at different backup options they have. And they heard about this new software-defined backup option. What would be the first step? Would they have to do a survey of their existing situation? Or how can you install your system so quickly?
So basically, the ease is really defined, again, by either an appliance approach. We have an appliance approach where you can we offer an opportunity for you to basically buy an appliance and scale that out as required. But you can start with small and go very large if you choose to do that. So the appliance connects to the network, and at that point in time, we start, you know, once we're connected to the network and the data, we can go ahead and ingest all that information. So it's a very quick process. Typically what we do with customers is we share with them our experiences on being able to have them put in a newer innovative capability that transforms the way in which they manage their workload, but more importantly, the impact it has on all of their resources relating to what it takes to maintain a legacy application, backup and recovery.
Let's take a break. We can come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this concept of the software-defined converged backup solution and maybe talk about some specifics and agencies that Rubrik has worked with and helped. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Steve Alfieris, Vice President and General Manager, U.S. Federal for Rubrik. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Steve Alfieris, Vice President and General Manager, U.S. Federal, for a company called Rubrik, R-U-B-R-I-K, awful simple, rubrik.com. And kind of a good story to tell here, you know. Steve is very, very well experienced in the federal government, knows all the terms, very comfortable with all the dependencies and some of the sensitivities as far as cybersecurity goes. And he's with a little kind of a startup, maybe 3 or 4 year old company. And we're talking the first break. We talked about what they do, and they do a lot of software defined converged backup. We know that. And then I asked him, well, you know, this is for big companies, right? So yeah, it's enterprise level. It's like agencies. I said, well, it's kind of hard. You just don't walk in and have a whole agency. And he said, well, as a matter of fact, we've grown a lot. We were in 5 continents. And I said, 5 continents in 4 years or 3 years? So tell me more. I mean, so you can start off small and move big and then amplify quickly in 5 continents? I mean, it seems crazy.
Yes, we have presence across all 5 continents across the company. Rapidly growing. We're one of the fastest growth companies in Silicon Valley today. We are, in fact, the fastest growing comparatively. We've also been able to get some fabulous awards and recognition from the market to include Gartner. Gartner just released a top 50 innovative companies in technology, and we were number 7 on that list, which is very, very...
Named a backup visionary, Rubrik backup visionary. And let's not forget,
yes,
VMware best in show. And let's forget 2017 Tech Backup Award. So you're doing something right. It's, I mean, you know, they're evaluating you in a very competitive marketplace. There's some very big players in this game. And it seems like you have a better mousetrap that can start small. And tell me about, what if an agency just wants to test you out and try with one application or something? Is that possible?
It's very possible. And we have customers that are doing that started there and now have scaled out, you know, very large. So very easy scalability with our technology. You don't have to buy multiple components. You buy the software fabric and you grow it, you know, whether in appliance or whether you want to instantiate that cluster in the government clouds like Amazon Government Cloud or the Intelligence Cloud or Azure's IL4 or IL5 cloud. So you have a choice. We give our customers choice, which is really what they're looking for. But from a perspective of consumption, you only buy what you need, and as you grow, then you could add to that environment without a big lift because of the fact it's one single software fabric.
I went to your website this morning and tooled around, and I saw this great little headline. The headline was, "Don't back up, go forward." 4 words kind of summarize what the company can do. Interesting concepts here. So, you know, there's some concepts here that maybe some people have to go through. I think of backup. I think of archiving. I think of disaster recovery. 3 different flavors of making copies of data. So where does this fit in? Was archive, or maybe differentiate these things for our audience, please?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So once you capture your data, you have a lot of opportunity to leverage that information from a backup perspective. So these are production workloads that you've backed up. So the question becomes, how can you provide a capability, or how can you leverage a capability that allows you to take those copies of that data and actually do something effective with it, right? So effective is really what it comes down to. How effective are you with your budget and how you're applying that to capabilities that are required to support mission or citizen services? So we allow you to access that data near zero recovery time, bring that forward, do DevOps on it, as I mentioned earlier, penetration testing, anything that you think is relevant to what it is you need to do or want to do with that data. The other thing that it does, which is very, very effective, is that we almost become a broker of your data in relating to where you want to move that data to. You can move that data to anywhere in your environment or outside of your environment. So it gives you the opportunity to automate the process of moving that particular application or set of applications from one data center to another and use it effectively on the fly. And it's all automated for you. So we find that data portability / mobility is something that our customer base is leveraging. And the people that we're speaking to that are potential customers of ours really get behind that capability, especially since we're talking about data migration from on-prem to the cloud. We see a lot of our current conversations with the marketplace being about how do you effectively move an application from your on-premise environment, your data center, and you want to move it to a cloud or some other technology platform that you have at another data center. So data mobility and portability is really what you get from being able to leverage the ingest of all of that and having really great control over all of your data silos.
You know, Steve, I talked to so many, I don't even know the people I talk to anymore, stumble on these people. Last week, I was up on Capitol Hill. I talked to this guy by the name of Representative Will Hurd. And I physically went to his office and recorded a quick interview, and we talked about the Government Modernization Act he's pushing through. And he says, look, a lot of my listeners have their hands tied. They have this strange budgeting process where they have to spend it, and they can't go out 3 or 4 years, and there's some projects they know are coming up, and this is a very difficult environment. So this whole concept of modernization, I think it fits right in to some of the things you're talking about, where an agency might have a legacy system and they're trying to modernize it, trying to move to the cloud. It fits in very carefully with what you're offering here.
Yes, sir, it does, John. In fact, it does. So if you're a virtual machine or a physical machine application or workload, we can, in fact, effectively move you and migrate you to where you want to go.
Yeah, because I would think that moving into 5 continents, in the commercial world, there are all kinds of legacy applications as well. And so a product like yours has to work with legacy applications, current applications, and this new thing called a hybrid cloud, which just adds to the complexity. It is a very complex environment there with 3 or 4 different places that information is for many agencies.
Yeah, so we see obviously the push and the interest in moving to the government cloud, and what we see government cloud offerings from Google, Amazon, and clearly Azure, Microsoft, and so we allow our customers to leverage those environments and move information applications to those environments and manage them in those environments.
Great. Let's take a break. Come back. What I want to focus in now is your impact on a data center. Is this going to be a big hit on your data center environment? And then talk about catalog data and how that all fits in and protected data. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Steve Alfieris, Vice President and General Manager, U.S. Federal, for a company called Rubrik. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Steve Alfieris, Vice President, General Manager, U.S. Federal for Rubrik, R-U-B-R-I-K. Just a little 3-year-old company, but pretty powerful for a 3-year-old. All 5 continents, active in the federal government. Steve has been around a while. He understands federal IT needs, and we've been bouncing around talking about backup and different topics, and we talked about this Representative Hurd, and Hurd is involved in 2 areas that probably impact your company. One area is modernizing government and trying to give my listeners maybe a little room at the end of the year to hold back some money for the next year. And the second area is with data centers. And that's your sweet spot, isn't it?
Yeah, we actually are very effective in that area. And obviously, based on the previous conversations we've had, we definitely can reduce data center footprint for backup and recovery capabilities. We're moving away, and I think the industry is moving away from 3-tier architecture and moving to software defined. We have a lead in that area today. Having said that, that impacts the footprint requirement for a data center for backup recovery, data archive, data protection, and all of the use cases that come along with managing that data. And then, of course, with the move to the cloud, whether it's a hybrid cloud approach is what we're seeing with most of our customers, and a lot of the government agencies we're speaking to are looking at, they're choosing a business model when they go into whether they're going to do a cloud, a government cloud, or a, you know, a CSP, if you will, or their own data center. So they're making a decision. It's a business decision on how to adopt technology and leverage the cloud. So we actually have experiences where we've completely shrunk the data center footprint for backup recovery. It's the average is around 70% reduction in data center footprint.
And so they can improve their ability to do backups and restore and reduce their footprint. That's the magic sauce for reducing data centers. That's what Herd's talking about.
Yes, and we reduce the footprint and give them a technology capability that they can leverage to manage their data more effectively at much lower cost.
I want to talk about this concept of instant application availability. And I'll go back many years. People used to have personal computers at home. And they'd use these magic spreadsheets, and no one could believe it. And they said, I'm just going to drag my PC into work. They bring their PC into work. And people would say, well, you can't have this here. And they'd say, no, but it works at home, and I should be able to do my spreadsheets here. Then you'd put little cards, and you'd be able to connect to your IBM computer. And so this is how the personal computer is involved. Okay, fast forward 30 years. Well, here we have people at home. You know, I'm sitting around with my wife, and I'm saying, what's the capital of Slovakia? I just get out my phone. I want to know exactly where it's at. And then what's that restaurant in Clifton we went to, that right near the tracks there with that sweet potato? Oh, you go to Clifton and find it right there. You know, at home, we want instant availability, instant Facebook, instant LinkedIn. Now, at work, it's that same concept is even brought to the agency. So your agency there, you want instant availability. You're not going to sit around and wait for the system to come back up. And many organizations, like military organizations or other organizations here, there's no choice. You have to have instant availability, don't you? Is that the good parallel I'm thinking about 30 years ago and today?
I think that's fair. Yes, we actually have a couple customers that have had the opportunity to leverage that based on some significant challenges they had. We have one current Department of Defense component that manages 500 locations globally, and they ran into a bit of a challenge with an outage. And based on our capabilities, they were able to bring back the critical applications that they needed to in minutes versus hours and or days. And we have use cases where it takes, depending upon how you do things, it can take you up to days to move a workload from your backup environment and get it back into production. And we solve that problem because when we ingest it, and we talked about this a little earlier, when we look at that data and we catalog all that data, we catalog it down to the file level. And so that allows for a systems administrator or someone in the government side industry side that moves that.
Is that called a metadata account? Is that what a metadata account is?
The metadata is how we structure it.
I see.
That's a structure, the metadata structure. Having said that you're able to get down to the file level and just bring back one application if you choose to, or a host of applications. So you're given choice now that says, okay, how do I instantly recover? If you have to instantly recover hundreds of terabytes or tens and tens of terabytes to get to a file, that'll take a very long time to re-instantiate and recover that particular virtual or physical machine, if you will. What we do is we allow you to identify the file and just bring the file back.
Got to talk about Twitter here. So I went to your Twitter feed. I looked at your last tweets for the last 3 months, and it's at RUBRIKINC. That's what you follow. Hashtag backup things. Hashtag ransomware. I opened about talking about ransomware. I mean, this is what, and also hashtag copy data. Kind of the, if you want to talk to someone under 20, hey, hashtag copy data. Oh, I get that. You know, I read a thing where people are learning music now. They don't say sharp anymore. They say hashtag F. So Beethoven, hashtag F. So ransomware plays into this as well. Maybe an agency or an organization could be attacked and you have to recover quickly. We're not going to talk about different agencies to work with, but that could be a possibility.
Well, no, it's happening today where ransomware is, you know, clearly one of the major cyber components that we've seen kind of emerge into the, at least the media. Yes, and the fact is that you can, in fact, do that very effectively because you can bring your clean production workload that you backed up quickly back into production and then use the file or the workload that was actually breached, and you could do your forensics in the background.
Let's go back to social media, your LinkedIn profile. I saw your LinkedIn profile, and two of the characteristics that people recommend you for are cloud computing and enterprise architecture. What a coincidence. And it's all about enterprise architecture, large systems. It's just interesting that a company can go from really nothing 3 or 4 years ago to being a trusted partner in larger organizations. For this is a level of trust that has to be built up, and it happens pretty quickly. So you must have some creds with higher level organizations.
So we have built quite the team that has quite the connections and experiences with all of the domains that we play in across the public sector.
I read an article that was mentioning your products, and it talked about CloudOn. Is that the vendor? What is CloudOn? Is that something from Microsoft? Or
actually, it's a rubric capability, and we talked about briefly about leveraging public clouds, right? Public government clouds. So what we do is, if you have what CloudOn is, it's a feature that we have. And it's a feature is where you can do is you can take an application that was running potentially in your data center on a virtual machine that's backed up by a server, obviously, that supports that virtual machine. And you can move that. This goes back to data mobility and portability. You can move that application directly to the cloud, whether it be AWS or Azure, and you can turn it on operating in the cloud. That's what CloudOn stands for.
So that's what the metadata allows for.
Yes.
It allows you to move it easily and transfer it. So that's the metadata allows to transfer it to the cloud, transfer it to a backup. So that's just defining what we were technically talking about earlier.
Yeah. So simplicity, again, that whole process is automated. You just move it and it automatically comes up.
Here's a 1 minute drill for you, Steve. So people want to learn more about your company, want to learn more about enterprise backup, disaster recovery, archiving. Do you read books? I mean, blogs? What do you read to keep up?
I'm actually reading a book right now called War of Art. And it was actually just came to my attention a few days ago, and I quickly went out and purchased it. And it basically speaks to when you think about the dynamic of how government entities are being effective and they're driving their missions. And one of the things it pointed out is everybody has to step forward. You know, typically what you hear in the marketplace, typically from industry and oftentimes from government potentially, is, you know, do we have the right people? Are our processes effective and broken? And then what's the budget look like? How do I get things done? Recently, as an example, with the NDAA now kind of allowing for working capital funds to be put together, that certainly potentially helps organizations from having to deliver any money they save back to the Treasury, right, where they can keep it today. So everybody in the market is talking about that. Will Hurd, very specifically, along with others, have kind of put that together to really support data center modernization. Now,
We got to take a quick break here. Yep. When we come back, I want to talk more about some of the security benefits and implications of your solution, and maybe talk about what's next in the next 4 or 5 years in the federal government, and see if Mr. Hurd's initiatives are going to be received in the federal government or not. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Steve Alfieris, Vice President and General Manager, U.S. Federal, for a company called Rubrik. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Steve Alfieris, Vice President and General Manager, U.S. Federal, for a company called Rubrik, R-U-B-R-I-K. There are many of my listeners who may have heard of it, may not have heard it. Relatively new company, I think since 2014, been around a few years. Big splash in large organizations all over the world. And what we're talking about is all kinds of instances of software and backup and deduplication and back and forth and back and forth. And during this interview, because I'm a big mouth, I'm talking about events I go to. And I go to this event and that event. Well, big deal. I mean, everyone goes through events. So, Steve, your turn. You are events. And what have you learned from the recent event you were at? Huh?
Oh, thank you, John. So I actually had the benefit and the honor to be part of a panel this past Tuesday, and that panel included a couple CIOs, a cyber expert from
federal,
government,
all federal,
mm-hmm. all federal, and then the audience was about 25 federal leaders in IT, and it was really all around innovation and how to leverage capabilities in emerging technologies to innovate your environment. So I was fortunate enough to be on that panel. The discussions kind of centered around a few key areas as the moderator kind of walked around the room and elicited some interaction with all of the enterprise IT leaders in the room. And with one of the things that popped, there's several things that popped out actually that were, you know, quite eye-opening. One of the conversations centered around Fatara fatigue.
A new alliteration.
Yeah, well, I won't take credit for that. It's something that I'm sharing with you that somebody else said from government. And that kicked off quite the conversation for a few minutes as it relates to their ability to actually meet the Fatara scorecard requirements. Comes down to people, comes down to process on how to innovate, and then ultimately budget. And that kicked off an interesting conversation around the FAR. And as we started talking about the FAR, it was very interesting. And one of the panelists, the CIO on the panel, started talking about the FAR. And his point was, it is what it is. The FAR is what it is. And there are ways that you can leverage the FAR to your advantage as a government leader. And that kicked off a very interesting conversation relating to effectiveness. So another panel member and then many of the people in the room started discussing the difference between being effective and being efficient. And that was a conversation that lasted about 15 to 20 minutes on what's the difference between efficiency and effectiveness. And there was a common approach everybody took and a common kind of thought process that said effectiveness is much more important than efficiency. And that raises a whole list of kind of conversational channels, if you will, where you can speak to that. Are you being effective? And there was a challenge given by the CIOs on the panel and all of the IT leaders that were there from federal government. It was a very vivacious, if you will, conversation about effectiveness versus efficiency.
Good, good, good. Speaking of effectiveness, what effect does your solution have on security? What are the implications and benefits of your solution on security? Lot, none?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you need to deliver a secure capability or you're never going to be able to do business with the U.S. federal government. So there's two approaches to that. One is that we have a capability built into the technology that basically meets all the FIPS level requirements. We have all gone through all the certifications necessary for defense, intelligence, common criteria, STIG, JITC, APL, so on and so forth. So we've secured our environment and we've received the certificates necessary in order to do business, and we've done that in record time. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah. You know, I'm in the classroom and I'm with youngsters all the time, 30-year-olds, and they always say, well, I don't know, it's kind of cold in Hawaii. And I go, in order to be terrific, you got to be specific. Give me a specific. So tell me an agency that your solution has really worked well for. You don't have to name names. Just say, well, an agency had this problem and they used IRITS to solve this.
So we have a couple customers that have been impacted by ransomware.
Not
in the federal government, but across. Fortunately, we haven't of our customers impacted by a breach yet. But having said that, we have many use cases throughout the market.
Rubrik, where people got caught and they had to bounce over quickly.
That's exactly right. So they're able to basically recover instantaneously to their production workloads.
So the idea is contact you now before you get hit in 6 months with some new 2018 variant of who knows what, huh? Yeah. Speaking of 2018 and 2020 and 2025, looking to the future here, are you optimistic? You think the government's going to resolve a lot of these issues with moving to the cloud? Do you think they're going to just status quo? Do you think there's going to be something that's going to precipitate maybe adoption of newer technology? What do you think in the next 4 or 5 years?
So that's a great question. So what do I think about the next 5 years? So obviously, IT modernization has been on the front list for a long time right now. And there's a lot of agencies that are doing some fabulous work. And it's unfortunate that news isn't put out there in the marketplace. It's you hear about the bad things, not the good things. So government leaders are today working towards getting to their dynamics associated with IT modernization. And they're working through all these, you know, blocks that they, you know, the challenges that they get. But I haven't met anybody that doesn't want to innovate in the marketplace. Now, having said all that, you have the cloud, and the cloud is a big, you know, topic, and it's been a big talk for a long time. So I think over the next 5 to 7 years, we're going to see a big shift as it relates to what the cloud really looks like and what those business models are for the cloud. So that's what I think is coming up, the cloud and the adoption component of it. And then how do you develop a business case around that? Because when you're making a decision like that, you're making a business case decision about how you're going to effectively, yeah, and I use effectively manage your information and, you know, and secure it.
When you were speaking, I wrote down some notes here. One word I wrote down was acquisition. The other one was ROI. And I think that's why, you know, Will Hurd is kind of, you know, on top of his game here. He's going, look, many of the people listening to this show, they want to improve. They want to change. They want to reduce their costs, but their hands are tied just as far as the acquisition model goes. And so that's one approach. I think we talked about that. And I think about return on environment. Now, in the commercial world, the cloud is so mature that people are stepping back and going, well, are we saving any money here? What is the return here? And so it's an interesting – I think these are two concepts I think have to go hand in hand with what's going to happen in the next 5 years. I mean, what about, you know, ROI? What about acquisition? Maybe it's going to be based on acquisition reform, not necessarily technology.
That could be the case. There's no doubt about that. But the one thing that you don't want to do is get caught into a vendor lock, as an example. So how do you free yourself from vendor lock? And that's, you know, that's traditionally been a challenge in IT. And now what's that going to look like in the cloud? And so that's one of the benefits that we bring to our customers is, you know, they're doing a great job. You know, Amazon's a fabulous company. Microsoft, a fabulous company. Google, a fabulous company. Now, having said all that, if a customer wants to move for whatever particular reason from any one of those particular CSPs, then they have the opportunity to do that very easily with our technology.
That's where it comes back to the meta description and almost self-describing data, where you can grab that suitcase and put it on a different plane.
Correct.
Whereas before, it wasn't in a suitcase. It was just stretched all over the plane. It'd be difficult.
Well, there could be a benefit to do that independent of, you know, any cost structure or anything like that, because these are very, very great companies, AWS.
Yeah. And when Google, I go through your Twitter feed, which I did very carefully, hashtag AWS, hashtag MSFT, hashtag Google. I mean, they're all in there. It's like, hey, what do you got? You know, we'll put you, we'll enable you to move back and forth, because what I see in a mature crowd environment, people coming back to a piece of paper and pencil and going, well, okay, there are organizations that have recently dropped prices for cloud services. Why would they do that? And then you look at the fine print, and getting this stuff out of the cloud may be more difficult than people anticipated in the beginning. So 30 seconds. Tell me one good thing that you learned at that event. You can just in a real short sentence. One good thing you learned at that event last week.
Okay, one big thing.
One little tiny little sentence. We got 30 seconds.
Okay, got it.
This is a challenge, you see.
Thank you. I would say there's two things. In one sentence, I'll couple them, and I think you'll get it. One is the FAR is what it is, and you need to figure out how to work around it. The second thing is effectiveness versus efficiency. Those are the two major things that I took out of that and that particular discussion.
The FAR is the FAR, and we've reached the end of our show here. We're running out of time. You have been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Steve Alfieris, Vice President and General Manager, U.S. Federal, for Rubrik.